University Broadcast Studio. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today on this Thursday edition of the program. Well, we got a lot going on. Phil Robertson is going to be here in just a little while, and we had a great conversation with Phil yesterday, and we wanted to save that interview for today's program. And Phil has a brand new book out. It's a fun interview, and that's coming to you in the second hour of the program. Also, we're going to check in with the director of an incredible new film that documents the life of my former boss, Roger Ailes, over at Fox News Channel. And it is probably one of the most fascinating documentaries I've seen. So we're gonna talk to him a little bit later on in this program. Plus your calls, 844-747-8868. This is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Some sad news that just came down a little while ago. Got news that a good friend of mine and a man that you know, Herman Cain, has passed away. The former Republican presidential candidate ran back in 2012, and I thought he had a terrific campaign, an incredibly successful businessman. The life that Herman Cain lived truly was the American dream. And he is going to be missed. And I know that we've seen many of your comments on our Facebook page. We've shared a story about Herman Cain. I had a chance to, the first time I met him, we were doing a speech somewhere. And after the speeches, we were heading back to the airport, and we just, I thought we were going our separate ways, but we both ended up, and I forget what airport this was, but they had a tiny Delta Sky Club. And I'm inside the Delta Sky Club, and I'm drinking my Baptist martini. For you Lutherans in Michigan, that's a Diet Coke with a wedge of lemon. And I'm sitting there sipping my Baptist martini, and in walks Herman Cain. And he sees me, makes a beeline for my little table, and we sit down, and we ended up having a conversation, I don't know, for about 45 minutes or so. And just down to earth, one of the nicest guys. And he had his people there, but he was just a regular guy. And he was also a devoted supporter of this president. He was a co-chair of Blacks for Trump, and he was at that rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he came down with the China virus. We don't know where he got the virus, but July 1st, he was hospitalized, and things took a turn for the worse. Herman Cain, 74 years old, and he truly was a pioneer and just a great man. So we'll be taking your calls. I know many of you were big fans of Herman. You listened to his radio program. You supported his presidential campaign. And again, it goes back to this idea of the diversity of the Republican Party. And this is certainly something that the mainstream media chooses to ignore. But the reality is that Herman Cain had a pretty darn good shot of going much farther into the presidential primary cycle. He's, again, lived the American dream, 74 years old. So pray for the Cain family and, of course, all of his staff who must be dealing with an incredible trauma today. All right. We're going to get into more of that with our good friend Robin Walensky. She is the morning show host at KWAM, our affiliate in Memphis, Tennessee. Robin is a former colleague of Herman Cain's. And so we're going to have Robin on the show in just a little while. There is a fascinating story developing, and I want to get your take on this. President Trump earlier today put out a tweet that has caused mass hysteria in the mainstream media. And the president suggested that maybe he just raised the question of whether or not we should delay the presidential election. The president was warning people that mail-in ballots could result in a fraudulent vote and an inaccurate count. I want to read the tweet to you, and we're going to take your calls on this. President Trump says with universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote? Question mark, question mark, question mark. So the president is posing the question, should we delay the presidential election until people can properly and safely and securely vote? Now, there's a lot to unpack here, and let me get the telephone number again, 844-747-8868. Do you think we ought to delay the election? 844-747-8868. Now, the president raised, and to me, this is probably the bigger question mark. He says, matter-of-factly, in this tweet that 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. Okay, well, what if he wins? I mean, if the president wins in November, is it still inaccurate and fraudulent? Why would you posit something like that? Why would you suggest something like that when, in fact, at least in my estimation, unless, you know, unless I'm just way out there in right field, that the president is not doing as well as we thought he is? Is the president concerned here about these polls that are out there, the polls that I just don't buy into. So I'm not sure why he decided to post this tweet, but certainly a lot of people very concerned. Now, the fact of the matter is the president has no authority to change the date of the presidential election. This is the law of the land. Only Congress has the ability to change the election date. But do you think that's a good idea? Even let's just say the president does have the authority to change the date of the election. Is that a good idea? And the president's opponents, and there are many, the president's critics have been quick to pounce on this because they say, wait a second. Now, the president says that he wants the little boys and girls, the little urchins, the school children of America, to get out there and go back to school and go back to the classroom. So if it's safe enough for the kids to go back and go to a classroom, a school, then why would it not be okay for people to go out and vote on Election Day? Got to tell you, that's a fair question. So I'm not sure why the president has decided to go down this path. But he does have a pretty good point, because there is a history of voter fraud with mail-in voting, and it is a big, big problem. And we've got a couple of stories I want to bring to your attention. The first of which is from, of all places, Vanity Fair. And they wouldn't know a conservative if a conservative came up and slapped them across the face. They're all lefties over there at Vanity Fair. But just a couple of days ago, Vanity Fair wrote a fairly lengthy piece written by Eric Lutz talking about how horrible mail-in voting is. And he pointed directly to what just happened in New York's Democrat primary, where they had to wait 3 weeks, ladies and gentlemen, 3 weeks to figure out who won a congressional primary. And here is the headline. It is a profane headline, so I can't read the exact headline. So I'll try to make it family friendly. New York's massively delayed election results foreshadow a November cluster F. Well, that's kind of right to the point. Meanwhile, Republicans are growing more worried that Trump's campaign against mail-in voting will hurt them. Now, this is a fascinating story. Did not get a lot of play. We talked about it on this radio program a couple of times. In New York, Congressman Elliot Engel, who is a liberal, and if you remember Congressman, we asked Congressman Louis Gohmert about this, Congressman COVID. We asked him about this a couple of weeks ago when Engel lost the race. So he was the incumbent. He was a lefty. But Louie Gohmert, Congressman Gohmert, said, hey, look, Elliott Engel was one of the good Democrats. I mean, you could work with the guy. Yeah, we didn't agree on hardly anything. But, you know, there were some areas that we could compromise in. And you know, we could have a conversation together. We might even grab a tuna sandwich down at the mess hall. You know, he was a good guy. Well, he lost his primary race to a radical leftist akin to AOC and Ilhan Omar, Jamal Bowman. This guy is a radical nut job. It took him 3 weeks to count the votes in that race. Can you imagine 3 weeks in a Democrat primary in New York? 3 weeks. Can you imagine if we have massive mail-in voting, how long it's going to take them to count those ballots? It could be that they are still counting those ballots by January. But the problem here is voter fraud. And John Solomon has been all over this part of the story. John Solomon over at JustTheNews.com says that contrary to what the mainstream media is telling you, there is major voter fraud out there. From Hoboken, New Jersey to Skid Row, they're talking about dozens and dozens of mail-in and absentee ballot boxes have been found. So is it possible that this is all a setup? And maybe the president may have a point here. Sure, he may not be able to go in and say, you know what, we're changing the date of the election. But maybe, just maybe, this president does need to raise alarm that we could be on the verge of yet another coup attempt against this president. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? All right, we're going to get into the John Solomon piece. Again, it's fascinating because he documents some of these most recent examples of mail-in voter fraud. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Now look, folks, do not buy into this mainstream media narrative that there's no such thing as voter fraud. Since 2016, we're just going back 4 years here, folks. 2016, four dozen criminal and civil cases involving voter fraud in America. So do not think that your vote is safe. It's not. And so the president is raising this as an issue. But my question is, why? Why do you think he is? And do you think it's a good idea? Should we delay the 2020 presidential election? By the way, before I give the phone number, I will say this, an observation. I have yet to see a single Republican politician either defend or reject the president's question. Not a one. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Arkansas. Mike, listening to us on the great KARN. Hi, Mike. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Good show. Enjoy every day.
Thank you.
Don't you think, for just a little bit, Trump's got to do something up there to have a little fun, and he throws something out like this, knowing he can't do it. That's got to go through the legislature to stop an election. But he throws it out there anyway, and it just screws all of them right to the ceiling. They just can't handle it.
So you think this was a joke, that it was just was said in jest?
Yeah. I sure do. I mean, it's not the first time he's done it. He's good at it. And I enjoy him doing it.
Well, he does like to troll the mainstream media. I'll tell you that much. I mean, the folks over at Daily Beast are terrified. They think that he's going to become, declare himself a dictator or something.
Anyway, man, enjoy your show. Have a good day. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Glad to do it. Thanks. Thanks for calling in, Mike. Appreciate that. Always love hearing from our friends over in the great state of Arkansas. I mean, who knows? Mike says it's the president's just yanking our chain. And maybe, I don't know. It's, at some point, let's just get down to business, Mr. President. So we'll see how that plays out. Oh, have you heard about Dr. Fauci? He's back in the news. And no, he did not get drafted. No, Caleb, that did not happen. He's not going to play. He's not going to play minor league ball. Not with an arm like that.
He did play basketball back in the day. So if one of these NBA teams played in the bubble needs some help, maybe they might sign him.
So I got a lot of grief from a lot of people. I'm not going to name names. I don't bear grudges. I'm not going to name names. But a lot of you people out there, very upset with me because I called the face mask a what? What did I call the face mask, Avery, the call screener?
Called it a burka, I believe, didn't you?
I called it a face burka. Yes, I did. A face burka. And all sorts of, I caught all you know. Todd, that's not very Christian of you. That's very offensive. Well, the whole point of that was to explain that the burqa is a political statement. It is a sign, a symbol of oppression. And if you don't ask me, just catch the next Delta flight or Southwest flight over to Riyadh and ask the ladies, 130 degrees, and they're having to cover themselves head to toe. And if they don't, they get the what for, just like I got the other day down at the Kroger in Germantown. I actually wrote on my mask, Caleb, you're going to laugh here. This is true. I wrote on my mask, face burqa.
Was that what you got the what for?
It may have been, actually. I may have deserved that, to be honest with you. But here I am walking around trying to find the apples, got stuck in the kumquat section down at the produce section. I've got my face burqa on, and everybody's giving me the old evil eye. It was terrible. What were we talking about? Dr. Fauci, thank you. So anyway, all you folks, Todd, how can you say, we have to wear those masks. The masks protect us. Really? Well, Dr. Fauci is out. And I warn you folks about this. I said it's going to start with the face mask, and you watch what's going to happen. So now Dr. Fauci is suggesting that people, you can't make this up, from the New York Post, Dr. Fauci is now suggesting that all of you people out there need to wear goggles and or face shields. Not just the face mask, but now he wants you to wear the goggles and the big shields. Like, I don't know, like you're a member of the bomb disposal unit down at the local PD. You know what we're going to look like? We're going to look like those little those minions. You know the little orange little or the yellow little creatures with the big goggles on the cartoon? That's what we're going to look like, Caleb. It's a horrible thing that's happening to this country.
It sounds weird. I actually find the face shield less weird, though, than the mask, even though it's this kind of big honking contraption. At least I can see the person's whole face. Like, that somehow makes it less weird. But I've actually run into some people with them on. And it is actually good to actually be able to interact with somebody when you can see their entire face.
I walked into the Hobby Lobby. I'm glad you brought that up the other day. I walk into the Hobby Lobby. The lady looks at me, and I'm smiling, but she can't see my smile because I'm wearing the face burqa. So I have to go over to the lady, and I'm like, I'm actually smiling at you, but you can't see my smile because I'm wearing the face burqa. And she looks at me like I'm some sort of a weirdo because we're wearing face burqas. And now they want us to wear goggles. What are we supposed to do if we wear glasses? 844-747-8868. Why am I so angry right now? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starks Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I don't know why I was yelling. Why was I yelling, Caleb? I wasn't that riled up.
You're used to having to talk loud through the mask.
Maybe that was it. Oh, hold on a second.
Hello, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
This is why we don't wear masks in radio. You can't understand anything, right?
I'm holding a napkin to my face right now.
You can't hear anything. Just the other day, I was driving down the street of Memphis, Tennessee. It is hotter than blue blazes around here. The humidity out the wazoo. I'm at a stoplight, and I look, and there's an SUV right alongside of me. The entire family head to toe, everybody wearing the face masks, the face burkas, the coverings, the whole nine yards. And, you know, you want to sort of, I mean, you want to kind of laugh at these people, but you don't want to do that in Memphis because they may shoot you. I mean, it's just we have a lot of road rage stuff going down here. But you don't want to. Robin Walensky knows all about that. She is the morning host. Wake Up Memphis on KWAM. Great American patriot. Robin, I know you've been up since the crack of dawn, and thanks for hanging out with us for a few minutes.
Yeah, no problem. You know, it's funny you're talking about the face masks. I was in Staples changing out the digital clock yesterday, and they are selling for $39.99 the face shields. You get 12 of them for $39.99.
Is that? I was wondering what that was on your expense sheet. So did you pick up a couple of extras? Is that what that was, Walensky?
No, I didn't. I wanted to ask you first, and, you know, and then we could really look like we're about to perform an operation.
Well, clearly, and then you got Dr. Fauci there and the scarf lady, and now they want us to wear goggles and the face shields and the face mask.
Can you imagine? I mean, it's just all too much.
What's going on, Robin? I don't understand. Sorry, I'm yelling again. I don't mean to yell. I'm just, this gets me so angry because we're just, you know what? Here's the Constitution. Just go ahead and burn it. We don't need civil liberties.
No,
I'm
sitting here in my car with the face mask. I took it off. It's actually making me cough because you're like breathing in your own breath and your own air. And it's like, I need more oxygen in my lungs than that. I don't even know what to believe anymore. You know what, Todd? We're in the information business, and I don't even know what to tell people because I don't know what to believe myself.
No, it's so sad. And I know we're going to talk about Herman Cain in just a moment, but this is such an important issue. Those, the GDP numbers coming out, it looks horrible. The economy's in the toilet. The country, we have intentionally destroyed the best economy in the world. And I'm still not quite sure for what, other than to try and take out this president.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the shutdowns and a lot of this nonsense will be over on, I hate to be a skeptic, but I think it's going to be over on November 4th. Once Trump gets reelected, then what have they had? This, to me, it feels like, and again, I'm not a scientist. I know coronavirus is real. I know it affects people differently. It's definitely out there. But it does feel like this is the last trick in the bag of the Democrats to take out this president. You know, the Russia hoax didn't work. All this other nonsense didn't work. And this is kind of like the last dart in the arsenal. Do you know what I mean?
Robin, what are you hearing from your listeners in Memphis about this? I know a lot of, you know, the bars are open one day, they're closed the next. It's, I think there's a lot of frustration out there.
Yeah, and there's lawsuits also going on, and, you know, the bars are suing to stay open. You have Dr. Birx, a.k.a. the Scarf Lady. You know, they're rocketing her here into Tennessee, and then she's like, close it all down willy-nilly. And then Governor Bill Lee, who's a Republican, is saying, nope, no way, we're not going to do that. And then the bars are suing to stay open. Then a judge said, well, no, we've got to go with this ruling, and then the judge is ruling against the bars. And so there's a lot of chaos. We had a caller to the show this morning on KWAM on Wake Up Memphis from a bartender whose name is Heather. She's been at it for 15 years. She's a single mom with two kids, and she can't live on $2.13 an hour, Todd, which is what she makes at the restaurant/bar that she works at. She's reliant on the $10 and $15 and $20 tips that people give her. And how is she going to put food on her table? She doesn't even know the answers to the questions herself. And what Monday looks like when this is supposed to take place. It is heartbreaking, Todd. It is absolutely heartbreaking.
It is, Robin. And I get concerned. I do think this president is going to win re-election, but there are some unknown variables out there. You know, the president earlier today tweeting about voter fraud and wondering if we should delay the election. I mean, the president has a valid concern there. We had a caller who said, well, maybe the president was just yanking everybody's chain. But I think there are some serious concerns about what's going to happen in November.
Well, there were three after he put out the tweet, if you look at it closely, there are three question marks. Should we delay the, it's like a trial, what's known in politics as a trial balloon. and then he puts three question marks after his comments. So I think he's just floating it out there to see what the responses are. Granted, this president has almost 85 million followers. He doesn't need the mainstream media anymore, Todd. He is way out there. He doesn't need to go on Good Morning America or the Today Show or CBS This Morning or any of this nonsense or Fox News, which is totally leaning toward the left. They are now center left because of who's on the board of the organization. And the bottom line is that he doesn't need the media anymore. He could communicate with you and me and everyone else via Twitter. I mean, 85 million people, what is that? A sixth, I'm not great at math, but what is that, a sixth of the United States population he's communicating with? So I think it was a trial balloon. I think the mainstream media is making way too much out of the tweet. But I agree with you on one point, that there is going to be fraudulent voting with Fred Flintstone and Daffy Duck and the Roadrunner all voting in the election. We've seen these names come up in Chicago time after time again. And you know darn well that a lot of dead people are going to be voting, unfortunately.
And, Robin, we all know the cemetery vote goes to the Democrats every time. I don't know how that happens.
Right? How does that happen?
It's true.
How does that happen?
Know. They don't even need, they don't even need Obamacare. They're dead. I don't know what's the incentive.
Exactly. They're 6 feet under already, and they're always voting to the left. I don't know what that's about. But, I know that the reason that you had me on the show was about Herman Cain.
Yeah,
and, he worked at WSB Radio, where I worked in Atlanta, and he was such a great guy, larger than life. He'd come to visit, and he was kind of almost, he ran for president, but he was never president, but he had that presidential quality where he would walk into the room and just light up the room, and he was larger than life and a big, tall gentleman. I know you've met him on many occasions, and I met him for the first time at the Red State Convention down in New Orleans, I don't know, 6-7 years ago in that time frame, and I put the picture up on Facebook, on the Mighty 990 Facebook, and he was such a fun guy with great ideas. And, let me say this. He had a lot of play because here he was, an American, a black man who was CEO of the pizza chain. And he had all these great ideas, 999 and all of his programs and stuff. And you think about this, that he was, a Republican before a lot of people got on board that train. And I think of the gentleman who they murdered just the other day out in Milwaukee, and I was going to talk about this next week on the show, but that man, 59 years old, who was a Trump supporter, I believe his name was it Tramiel, Todd? Have you talked about this on your show? This guy in Milwaukee? Yeah,
he's a
black man.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and he was pro-Trump with all his signs, and you think about that, and someone like Herman Cain, who was pro-Trump, and it's just so frustrating to hear that someone could be shot because of their political beliefs, because he was a black man shot in the head because of his political beliefs. And then you think about Herman Cain and everything that he stood for and stands for. And John Lewis, the funeral going on right now in Atlanta at Ebenezer Baptist Church. And, you think of the, as he put it, the good trouble that he got into. There was none of that BLM thuggery and violence. He was able to get his message across, like MLK, in a peaceful way. And I think there's really something today very special that we need to think about and go forward with, that the young people, this next generation that's out there, the angry mobs of people terrorizing people, black or white, we really need to think this through.
I think, Robin, we need a generation of young people that want to emulate the qualities of someone like a Herman Cain, who again, pick yourself up by the bootstraps. You go out there, work your butt off, and you're going to be able to claim that American dream. And that's what he did. And the man had a pretty good shot of getting the Republican nomination back in 2012. Just a good and decent man. And he is going to be missed.
He is, and here he worked his way up to be CEO of a company. This is not a guy who is government dependent. All these young people today of all races that are, attached to this government check that don't want to get up out of bed and work. I mean, that's not the Herman Cain way. That's not the John Lewis way for sure. And I think that we need to look at these men as leaders in our country, John Lewis and Herman Cain alike, that really, you know, did something great in their lives and will be remembered for their body of work, not for being lazy, not for being enabled. There is too much of that going around today.
Well said. Preach, Robin Walensky. Preach.
I'll preach it, baby. Preach it.
Oh, jeez, Lou. All right, Walensky, we got to leave it there. Robin Walensky, you can get more information about her program at Mighty990.com. And you can also listen to her great morning show, 6 to 8 o'clock. That's in the Central Time Zone. Robin, look forward to seeing you on the radio.
Sounds good, my friend. No mask on the radio.
It doesn't sound good.
I'm with you on that.
Mask free. All right. Great lady right there, folks. Great American patriot. And it's a fun morning show. And it's always good to be able to hang out with conservatives in the morning. Okay, look, we've got to take a quick break, going right to the phones. A lot of you folks hanging on. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. 844-747-8868. Toll free number 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Folks, just a reminder, Phil Robertson, the Duck Commander, coming up in the next hour of the show talking politics and ducks. 844-747-8868. As promised, let's get to the phones. I understand we have George Flynn on the line, listening to us on KWAM. He is one of the Republicans running for the U.S. Senate here. Dr. Flynn, good to have you with us.
Todd, good to be with you, and I think I'll have somebody bring you by one of the face shields, and maybe we can put two or three of them around you.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, thank you very much for having me on, and everybody that's been talking about it, we have so many controversies going on, and we have so much, so many people want their opinion out. They'll call you, and you can give them a space to have their opinion, but there's no better way. You know, in Tennessee, we're having early voting right now, and I urge everybody to go out and early vote so that you don't get caught up in the whatever is social distancing on Election Day. We've got early voting through this Saturday, and I urge everybody to go out and vote. Now, of course, I hope you vote for me, Flynn for U.S. Senate, but whoever you vote for, please go out and have your voice heard, please.
I'm curious what your thoughts on President Trump, what he tweeted earlier today. A lot of people talking about this question of whether or not we should delay the presidential election.
Well, that's a very interesting subject. Delaying the election, I mean, I think people, if we think through it, the way the Constitution is set up, Congress has set the election date, and if that election date is not met, who becomes president on January 20th? It's Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, becomes president of the United States until we can have the election. And that's a sobering thought, you know.
Dr. Flynn, you probably just caused a number of car accidents around the country with that statement right there.
No, Trump is out. Biden is out if the election is delayed, because there is a delay from the time the election goes till someone is sworn in. But in the interim, Nancy Pelosi will be our president of the United States. And that is a sobering thought. So I don't think we can delay elections.
Well, and again, I don't know, you know, if the president said this in jest, if he was just trying to yank the mainstream media's chain, we don't know. But there's a lot going on, and there are some legitimate concerns about the veracity of the vote, especially if we're going to have this massive mail-in vote. And who knows, they may still be counting ballots by the time January rolls around.
Right. Well, the integrity of the election is paramount. Delaying it, I'm sure if when everybody figures out what will happen, the Democrats are going to support delaying the election. They'll say, oh, yeah, we'll do it. And then we'll have, you know, and it may be for 2 or 3 months of Nancy Pelosi being president. but that's enough to wreck things. She is a wrecking crew of one, and she can wreck the entire United States. I'll bet she could do it in 2 weeks, you know. So,
we don't need her anywhere near the Oval Office.
Please, not please. Let's rethink this. Let's make sure that election integrity is maintained. But a delay in the election, I don't think it's anything the United States of America can afford.
Well, that's a fair point. All right, Dr. Flynn, we're going to have to leave it there. Good luck to you out there on the campaign trail. It's a pretty crowded primary field, but Bill Hagerty, Manny Sethi, and George Flynn are neck and neck, folks. So it's quite the battle there, the battle royale in the Republican primary race in Tennessee. All right, let's go to Morehead City, North Carolina. Randy listening to us on the talk station. Hi, Randy. What's on your mind?
What's going on, Todd?
Well, just hanging out, having a good time on the radio.
All right. Hey, man. Just to be honest, I'm just an old country boy down here in North Carolina, and I know I ain't got the horsepower them geniuses up there in Washington's got. But I feel like I've got the election problem solved. All we got to do is set up our polling sites at Walmart, Lowe's, and Home Depot. Because for some reason, all during the pandemic, there hasn't been any problem at those places. So you can't get infected there. We set up the polling sites there. Boom. No mail-in elections.
Randy, you're yanking my chain. Hold on a second. Randy, you're yanking my chain here. You sound like you got a Harvard degree with that kind of common sense.
Nah, man, just a backer stick to the back of the head common sense. My parents gave me that back when we was cropping sand lugs.
Well, I'm sorry, sand what?
Sand lugs, man. You know, that's the bottom four leaves on your tobacco stalk. When you first start, you got to get them sand lugs off.
You see, that's North Carolina thing.
That was back in the day when we was hand cropping.
You learn something new all the time here on the show, Randy. At least I did.
There you go, man.
There you go.
There's plenty of people out there in North Carolina, I guarantee you, that knows what some sand lugs is.
Love it. Randy, we got to leave it there. We got to take a break for the news. I want you to promise to give me a call back. You're making a whole lot of sense. Randy says the solution is just to set up the polling stations at the Walmarts and the Targets, maybe down at the Kroger store. I think that's a Home Depot. Yeah, sure. Why? Lowe's too. All right. 844-747-8868. Don't go anywhere, folks. We're getting to your calls. Got to take a break, though. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.